The Colombo Plan was put in place at a time in the 1950s when Australia was tentatively finding its way in Asia. With an initial push from Liberal politicians such as former Prime Minister Robert Menzies and Territories Ministers Paul Hasluck from the 1950s to the 1980s, about 40,000 students came from Asia to Australia to study at our universities. Well, under an initiative dubbed the New Colombo Plan, the reverse is happening. Thousands of Australian students will be helped to study and gain work experience in the Asia region. Brett Mason is the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister for Foreign Affairs. He's in Asia at the moment, nutting out the details of how this new plan will work on the ground. And he joins us this morning from Hong Kong. Good morning, Senator.
Ellen, good morning.
Look, can we get to the Colombo Plan in just a moment? I'd like to ask you about Thailand, if I may.
Sure.
Yesterday on this program, the Foreign Minister seemed to be cautiously noting that the military in Thailand was claiming that that martial law was an attempt to bring peace and stability. Now we have a coup. What's the government's view of that?
Well, Australia believes that sustainable political stability is more likely to be found in restoration of a democratically elected government operating under the rule of law. That's really our position, and we're encouraging, you know, all parties in Thailand to resolve their political differences through peaceful democratic processes. And we hope, I think every Australian hopes that an election in which all parties agree to participate can be held as soon as practicable.
Given the tensions in the country over the past few months, is this action, this coup, justifiable in any way?
Well, it's really a matter for, of course, for the Thai people, but there's enormous goodwill towards Thailand in Australia. Many of us holiday there, and your opening comments about the original Colombo Plan. There are many Thais that were educated in Australia, and I think all of us do hope that as soon as possible that democracy can be restored in Thailand, but we are monitoring the situation, of course, closely because we have very, very strong links with Thailand, and I think there's great affection for the Thai people in Australia.
I imagine you've received briefings on this, notwithstanding that it's 5 a.m. in Hong Kong. What are the expectations in terms of the prospect of more violence in Thailand as supporters of the ousted government react to this coup?
Well, we're monitoring it closely, Ellen. It's hard to be too precise about it. But our ambassador James Wise in Bangkok remains, I think, cautiously, you know, optimistic. And we're just hoping, of course, that a process can be found for a democratic election as soon as possible.
And we know there's an overnight curfew there between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. People are forbidden from gathering in groups of more than five. All TV and radio broadcasts have ceased in the country. What's the advice for Australian travellers?
Well, the travel advice was reissued late last night to alert travellers to the coup in Thailand. And you're quite right. There is a nationwide curfew in place between 10 o'clock and, I think, 5 a.m. And Australians in Thailand should follow the instructions of local authorities, of course, and avoid all demonstrations and protest sites and political events and indeed any large-scale public gatherings. And I think it's fair to say that we urge all Australians travelling to Thailand or already there to continue to exercise a high degree of caution.
All right, let's turn now to the Colombo Plan. Look, there's a certain irony here, isn't there? I mean, for decades, Asian students came to Australia. Yeah. I think Mahathir Mohamad, the former Prime Minister of Malaysia, studied under the Colombo Plan, which didn't seem to increase his affection for Australia, but nevertheless, now the boot's on the other foot. So we're sending Australians to Asia.
You're quite right, Ellen, and it's very exciting. As you mentioned in your generous introduction before, the original Colombo Plan, founded by the Menzies government in the 1950s, tens of thousands of Asian students came to Australia to study, and you're quite right, it did build up over that time enormous goodwill between Australia and her neighbours, and they are enduring links. In fact, even last night here in Hong Kong, I met many of the graduates from the original Colombo Plan, and the affection remains for Australia. And when you travel throughout the region, so many of the political leaders, the university leaders, the senior business people were graduates of that program.
How old are they now?
Oh, well, some of them aren't too old. I think the Colombo Plan really finished in Australia in about the mid-1980s.
Mm.
But some, of course, are in their 50s, 60s, 70s and 80s, but they're influential now, and they've come to very senior positions.
And so why weren't you persuaded to simply restart the program and continue to have Asian students coming to Australia? Why do it the other way around?
Well, Ellen, they are still coming, of course, through the Endeavour programs and other awards. They're coming privately, they're coming through scholarships from their own countries. We have tens of thousands of Asian students coming each year. But what we did, and when Julie Bishop was driving this, it was rather than Asian students coming to Australia, it was for Australian students to move into Asia, into our region. Because I think, unlike when I studied overseas 25 years ago, I studied in Britain, but young Australians now know that their future, indeed the future of our country, lies much more in our own region. And the government wants to support and encourage young Australians to come and study and work in our region. And, I can honestly say over the last week, whether in Jakarta or here in Hong Kong or Singapore, the feedback has been terrific. Governments in all those three countries have been highly supportive, as have their universities and their business sectors. So it's been terrific, very heartening, in fact.
Take us through the details of it. How does the money work out? It's $4.72 million for the pilot phase, 38 unis involved. So does the grant go to the student or the foreign university?
It goes to the domestic university in Australia originally.
Right.
And they apply through a competitive grant process. And over the next 5 years, there's $100 million of new money allocated for that. In the first pilot year, we call it, this is the first year this year, that we have about 1,300 students travelling overseas, and that's the four pilot locations. So you've got Singapore, Hong Kong, Indonesia and Japan.
And what are they studying?
Oh, a range, a wide range. The medical students, there are architecture students, engineering, law, education, and from universities right across the country. And they're quite diverse too, Ellen. The sorts of programs they're studying in are diverse. Some are shorter, some are longer, some involve practicums, some involve internships and mentorships. So it's quite flexible, and that's to cater for the different modes of study, different disciplines, and different conditions in different countries. So it's quite flexible, so long as credit's been given back in the domestic university in Australia. And when the programs are being assessed, we believe that it's adding to a student's understanding of the Asia-Pacific.
Mm. Now, given that university students in Australia have been on the streets this week protesting about having to pay tens of thousands of, if not over $100,000 for their degrees in Australia, might this be a way for young Aussies to get a little bit of their education for free, perversely enough?
Well, they'll have to work, of course, very hard when they're over here in the Asia-Pacific, but I think the enthusiasm from all the young Australians I've met during the last week has been terrific. And I know that back in Australia there has been apparently some concern on campuses, on domestic campuses, but certainly over here the undergraduate students are delighted to be here, working very hard. But also, it's funny, it's really heartening. They have taken their programs and the cultures that they're studying in, they've taken it to heart, and they're enjoying themselves and working hard, which is a terrific thing. I went to Binus University in Jakarta, and there has been enormous strides in recent years in Indonesian universities. We've had students from QUT going there,
yeah,
and they were they were having a terrific time and learning a lot about Indonesia.
Okay.
I met students in Singapore from James Cook University, medical students doing internships. It's terrific.
Thank you so much for getting up early for us.
Ellen, it's a real pleasure.
Senator Brett Mason there, the Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister for Foreign Affairs, and he was on the line from Hong Kong.